Welcome back to the program, 1300 01 1170. Get us on the text line, 0457 736 736. Let's head to the UK. Incredible over the course of the weekend. St Helens go back to back to back with their third straight premiership. It means they've won the Challenge Cup and the premiership in the same year. It's an incredible effort and incredible from their Australian coach, Christian Wolf, who's been good enough to join us on the line. G'day, Christian.
Yeah. Hi, Jimmy. How are you, mate?
Yeah, really well. How are you? As the enormity of what you've done and the level of success that you've been able to find this year at St Helens, has it sunk in yet?
Look, yes and no. It's obviously it's been a great year. It's been an enjoyable year, and same with last year. We're very aware of how we're sort of travelling and what we've achieved, but at the same time, the enormity of it, and for the club winning three in a row and being the first team for a number of years to win the double as well in terms of Challenge Cup and Grand Final. It's a massive achievement, a wonderful achievement from a group of men that really deserve it because they've worked extremely hard for it. So it's great to be a part of.
It's so different to last year's Grand Final because, of course, behind closed doors, this time at Old Trafford. Did you get a better sense of what those big games, I suppose you got it with the Challenge Cup as well, those big games and those big crowds in the UK can mean?
Yeah, it was great for both. The Challenge Cup, we had a capped crowd of 40,000, but the noise in Wembley was outstanding. It was the first time we'd had crowds leading up to that, but they'd been quite capped at numbers like 4,000 and 5,000 and that kind of thing. So to get there and have 40,000 was unbelievable and just something that none of us had experienced for a long time. And the Grand Final was then a little bit bigger again, and last year's Grand Final was meant just as much and was outstanding. And with COVID and the situation that's been over here with lockdowns and everything for a fair while, you had so many obstacles to overcome that it did add a little bit of a special element to winning the Grand Final last year, even though we didn't have the crowds. But to have the crowds back this year and everything that they bring, and the English fans are outstanding, the way they sing songs and have to banter at other fans, and they really involve themselves in the game. So it was great having all that back, and particularly when you get a win and you get to go and stand in front of the main stand with all the Saints fans and again singing songs and the way they appreciate the players, it's great to be a part of.
What about the game itself? Very tight contest. Mirrored the NRL Grand Final in many ways, just how tight it was. Defence was to the fore. It was a little bit different, an added attraction for many in this country. James Maloney, of course, playing, and he's a big game player. The fact that there was a French side in there as well. What were your takeouts of the game? I suppose it's hard when you're on the edge of your seat for 80 minutes.
Yeah, look, I was really happy with how we played. I thought it was a real quality game of footy, and I felt like we had fairly long periods of being on top and just sort of waiting for our next opportunity. But when I went to 12-10 with 12 minutes or 13 minutes to go and you sort of hanging on to that two-point lead, the way the game went in that last 10 or 12 minutes was stressful. It's the best way to describe it, I suppose. And, we had our opportunity to really sort of control field position and control what was going on. And we unfortunately decided to throw a bit of an offload that put us under pressure and meant that we ended up defending our line for three sets in a row. And James Maloney's kicking game was what kept us there, obviously. And that was an extremely stressful period. But at the same time, what our group of blokes have done so well all year is work really hard for each other and defend really well. And they turned up with that sort of effort again when it mattered most.
Kev Naguama, man of the match, we know him. Lachlan Coote as well. Alex Walmsley and James Robey. I want to ask you about two of the Englishmen. I think Walmsley is just incredible. Give us an insight into Alex Walmsley as a player and the impact that he has on your team.
Oh, he's a real leader for us, and obviously really leads our pack and leads it really well as well. And he's a terrific player. He's an outstanding player over here and would have been a really good player in the NRL if he ever chose to go that way as well. And He's just a bit unique. He's so big and tall, and the way he can move, he looks awkward, but he can move really well with his feet, and he's powerful, and he's got a good skill set. So he's got a fair bit to him, but he's also got a real toughness and a real ability to work hard. So, he's terrific for us. And you mentioned James Robey as well, and obviously James Robey's sort of getting towards the end of his career. Next year is going to be his last year, but at 36-year-old, he's still playing 80 minutes. He's still our most efficient defender, and his skill set in terms of his pass and kick and getting the ball to where it needs to be, and he's very much the Cameron Smith of our competition, and has that sort of influence in this competition as well.
Mm. I've got to ask you, there's the obvious questions. There was an article from Dean Ritchie yesterday in the Daily Telegraph. There's a new team coming into the competition in 2023. We know you're contracted to St Helens for 2022, but what about thoughts of coming back to the NRL, Christian?
Yeah, look, it's just going to be a matter of waiting and seeing what's available, I suppose. And I'm really enjoying my time here and really enjoying my time at St Helens. It's a great club and full of great players, and that's why we've had so much success. So it's great to be a part of. And at the same time, we've been over here for 2 years and going on 3 years, and there's certainly a little bit of lure for the family in particular to think about going back if there's opportunities there. So it's really just a matter of waiting and seeing what's going on and trying to figure out as the year goes along.
Do you know Wayne Bennett? Because Wayne Bennett, coach of the Dolphins, 23, succession plan with assistant Christian Wolfe taking over in 24. That sort of works, doesn't it?
Yeah, look, other people make those decisions.
Yes, fair enough. Tonga hasn't played since 2019. The last two games you played, you beat Great Britain and you beat Australia. I know there's obvious reasons why they haven't played. How frustrating has that been, knowing that you've got this a very good side that you'd love to get your hands on again, Christian?
Oh, look, it is frustrating, but at the end of the day, no one's been able to play. And it'd be more frustrating if we were sitting here and watching other teams have the ability to play and we were somehow disadvantaged. But as I said, no one's had the ability to play. So, from that point of view, you sort of get over the frustration, no dramas. And we would have loved to have been able to roll on and play some games straight after we'd played Australia and Great Britain. And obviously, the momentum was rolling really well, and we had an opportunity to put ourselves in a really good position in terms of off the field and how we resource the Tongan team and that kind of thing. But it's all stalled, and now knowing that the World Cup's on at the end of next year, and we're going to be able to start planning towards that again and organising things towards that again. And one thing that's a positive, there's always a positive slant to things, but one thing that is a positive is the number of young Tongan players that are emerging in the NRL and not just coming in and playing some games, but becoming real powerhouse players for their teams. And they're only going to get better and better. And the quality of the team that we're going to be able to put together, the emergence of some of those young players, and over the course of the next 12 months, they're only going to get better. And there's so many of them that got the experience of playing finals footy this year as well. We're going to be a very powerful team and very difficult to beat.
Was it a right decision to push back the Rugby League World Cup?
I think in the end, it was what had to happen. And it was obviously well documented what the stance of Australia and New Zealand was. And the NRL club certainly made it clear that they weren't supportive of it going ahead as well. And I think once that happened, and I can certainly understand the reasons why for that as well, and we're living with COVID a little bit more over here, and I guess we're probably 12 or 18 months ahead in that sense, and just learning to deal with it and live with it. And so from our point of view over here, we could see plenty of reasons why it could and should go ahead. But I can see that when you're sitting in Australia and you're looking at a country that's got 35,000 new cases a day and those sorts of numbers, so I can certainly understand the decision and the the hesitation from that side of the world. So I think once those decisions were made, I think it was certainly best to put it off for 12 months. And what we want a World Cup to be is the best of the best, and everyone to be there, and everyone to have the best players. And I don't think it would have worked if Our Tongan team, for example, was winning a World Cup, but not having our best players, not playing against the best players. So, as I said, once it got to that, I think it was a decision that had to be made.
Mm. You mentioned the family. They're keen to get home. Will you get an opportunity to get home with the restrictions around international travel in this off-season?
No, look, we won't. It's a little bit too difficult and a little bit too expensive at the
moment.
So we're just going to stay here. And it's our first opportunity. We've basically been here through 18 months in and out of lockdown. So it's our first opportunity to go and have a look through a couple of places in Europe and enjoy what being over here offers.
Yeah. Where are you heading first up?
We're thinking places like Portugal and France.
Oh, yeah. I love the north of England, Christian, but that sounds a whole lot more attractive at this point. Hey, congratulations on what you've achieved. Just amazing. Challenge Cup into a premiership success with St Helens. You've done it back-to-back. Christian, really great to speak to you, and thanks for being a part of 1170 SEN.
No worries at all. Thanks for having me.